Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm Pastor Jay.
Yes, it's Relationship Real Talk Tuesdays, and we are back in the building.
Yes, we
are. Listen, today's hot topic is about I'm married and I'm lonely.
And I'm still
If you've
lonely.
Ever felt this way, you need to tune in. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
You ever felt this way? All right, y'all.
What's going on, y'all? What's happening? What's happening?
It's time. It's that time again. Hey, Tisha.
Yeah, we are here.
What's up, my girl?
We are here.
And man. Keisha Langston. Hey, guys. Man, we love y'all.
We just want to talk with y'all today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, before we get started, let's just have a quick word of prayer. Lord, we thank you, God. We honor you, God. We adore you. We bless you, God.
We praise
you. God, we just thank you, God, for you're just wonderful, God. And God, we just asking you to come in the midst right now, God. Anoint us, God, for such a time as this, God. Because, God, we know that the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy, God. But we want to bind whatever you bind on earth, God, you want to bind in heaven, God. So we bind the hands of the enemy right now, God. And we just thank you, God, because we know, God, we desire to be different, but yet impactful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so.
First things first, y'all. We want to thank you guys, those who supported the Shift
yes.
Love Ball.
We had an ball.
Awesome time, man.
It was amazing.
Man. It was awesome.
Amazing.
Man, and people are still talking about it, man. When are you going to do the next one? And
we're
actually planning to do it in Atlanta, y'all, in July.
Yes.
But we're gonna be coming with those details real soon. So we just thank y'all for those who supported, the people that came out, man.
Yeah.
Man, it was awesome. Man.
I got a chance to dance with my boo.
What?
It was nice.
What? We were dancing the night away.
It was nice.
All night long, too, at that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We danced at night, too.
Okay, well, come on with it, Mr. Pastor Jay. Let's talk about this being married. This one is dear to my heart, so I'm going to let you go ahead and start this thing off.
Yes, we want to talk about, you know, being married but yet still lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Being married but yet still lonely, man. And it happens in marriage. Because I hear a lot of people say, you know, it's hard being married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear a lot of people say that, babe. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard being married. You
Ooh.
Know, marriage is hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. I mean, I hear that, but I believe, I guess what my experience is, I believe the only thing that makes marriage hard is people, the people in the marriage.
And the things we refuse to let go of.
The things, yes, yes.
The hurt and the pain behind past relationships and childhood
yes,
stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, because it's already one thing to struggle with bringing baggage into
all
the relationship.
All the stuff that's in our bags.
Yeah, and then we get into the relationships and we expect the person that we get with to unpack all of this stuff that we
or
brung.
To carry it for us because I'm a lady.
You know, when you get on the airport, when you get on the plane now, you got to pay for that baggage.
Come on. That baggage is something serious.
That baggage is $65 now to take on a plane.
Now, let me tell you the reason why I really, really, I mean, we're being transparent because this is real talk.
Mm.
The reason why this subject is really, really dear to my heart because this being afraid, I had such a fear of being in a marriage and then being lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I was so afraid of that. That fear almost gripped me to no end that I just, people thought I was like a commitment, a foe, but I didn't have commitment issues.
Okay.
I had fear.
Wow.
You know, just growing up and having my father awesome man of God, awesome pastor, awesome leader. Mm. But I didn't see that affection between my mother and my father that I desired. Or okay. I didn't see, I always felt like my mom was lonely. I mean, she never told me that, but I always felt like she was lonely and she wasn't really, you know, getting the connection.
Like?
What?
It sounds like how people get into marriages and relationships and they just exist.
Okay, well, I can't say that that's what they're doing, but that was my perspective from a childhood, growing up in a home. It was like I would often see my dad in the TV room watching the Braves, and my mom would be in the living room or in her room looking at a magazine or sewing or she was cooking. I always felt like I didn't want that. So I was so afraid to be married because I didn't want that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be alone and be lonely and then get married and still feel like I'm lonely.
Yeah. You know, that happens a lot. I mean, because I hear, I got a client, a friend of mine, who said that he don't want to be around his wife all the time because space is what's going to keep the marriage strong and keep it working and together. So you need your time over there and I need my time over there.
Hey, Dad. Jesse's on the line.
Hey, y'all. Hey, Barry, what's up, man?
Jesse, Barry, how you doing, boo?
So, yeah, so it's like, you know, I believe space, I don't see what me.
We thought that, too, though.
Yeah, I really thought that. If you do your thing over there and I do my thing over there. But because we've cultivated, because this was one of the topics we talked about Saturday at the Love Ball.
Yeah.
Cultivating communication.
Right.
Cultivating the communication. One. And a lot of times I believe in couples and in relationships, we talk at each other and not to each other. So in other words, we talk to be heard.
Yeah.
But we don't talk to listen. So if you tell me something that's bothering you, I can't get aggravated with that because you're sharing your feelings with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's really up to me to listen to how you really being honest with how you feel.
I call that hearing my heart.
Yeah. And so
don't
if you
just
hear,
listen to my words. Don't just listen to my words. Truly hear my heart. Listen, hear me. Like if you know the person you're with, if you really truly know them and your desire is to get to know that person, then you would hear the words that they're saying, but you would also know them enough to hear their heart.
Yes. Because it's like really it shows a level of concern too. Like you really love this person if you really listen to their heart. Because now when you tell me things, if you say something to me like, babe, I didn't like how you did this because it made me feel, and then you gave the reason with it, because it made me feel like such and such. It made me feel like you didn't care. It made me feel like you wasn't listening to me. So what that did automatically was say, dang, okay, I need to make a change because I don't want you to feel that way. But if I take what you said and I take it personal, I mean, that can leave some scars and some marks. Like, this man really does not care. So what it does at that point now, it leaves a disconnect. It emotionally disconnects us because our hearts, my ears are not listening to your heart. So, and out of the heart, what does it say?
Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
The mouth speaks.
But, I mean, just being transparent, and we just really doing what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. Just being transparent. The other day, we had an argument. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't really even an argument. It was a situation that happened. Jesse was in the bathroom talking on the phone. And he didn't even know I was going to say this, so I mean, we just keeping it funky. And a statement was made, and the statement was towards me. And I felt like you should have made a statement like, my wife, that's not how my wife is. My wife don't get down like that. That's not how she is. But instead, that wasn't said. And I remember and this is these moments where we kind of still, you know, cultivating. And I made sure I kept saying, I think I said about two or three times what I felt like you should have said. No, you need to say, and you basically said, get out of the, but like, get out.
Yeah, because you really didn't understand the conversation, what was going on. So you was trying to tell me how to talk in the conversation.
Right.
So I slammed the door. Man, mind your business.
Yeah, you slammed the door and was like, look, you're getting on my nerves.
Come on now, stop it.
And I was like, what? I'm getting on your nerves. I'm thinking as a wife, as a woman, as your friend, you should have came to that point of saying quickly. But see, that was what I was thinking in my own mind that you should have done. But instead, even though that wasn't a moment where I felt like you heard me, I still do the same thing. My formula stays the same. I was like, okay, God, I really did not appreciate how he did not come to my rescue and make help that person understand that that's not who I am. I don't even know what the conversation initially ended up being.
My point, exactly.
I know that's the point.
Oh, thank you, Tisha.
When you go before God and say, okay, God, I need you to help me, and you truly desire him to help you with something, to understand something, get a little wisdom on something that you kind of naive about, he will.
Let's see. Let me tell you what it is. Well, because honestly, y'all, we talking about this now. We didn't really talk about it.
We didn't talk about this already.
But the thing what I felt is because if you understand me, knowing that I do listen to God, I do follow, because a lot of things I don't say unless God tells me to say it. Mm-hmm. So I felt at that point, you were not trusting the God in me because it was like you was trying to tell me how to deal with how already God was telling me how to deal with the situation. So you kept, to do this, you need to do this. Oh, darn it. And then it's like,
I didn't do, oh, see, you put a little thing.
You need to do this.
Oh,
you need
no,
to go, come on now. You need
me.
To do it like this. And you
that
need to,
was
it's
not
like,
me. You laying it
okay.
on a little thing.
I'm like, wait, hold on, relax. Just pray for me over there so that I can get the message across.
Right.
Because at that point, I felt that that's what you should have
been
doing.
And you was accurate in your feeling.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course, like I said, we ain't discussed this earlier. We should have probably discussed it at the house.
Yeah, not on the podcast.
But
it's
no,
cool.
This is real
but it's
talk.
Cool, but
this
is real
what
talk.
People
this
really
is what
need
do.
To understand. You're right. And that's sad that, you know, and I would never tell you I didn't trust that particular instance because I wouldn't want you to think I don't trust you because it wasn't about me not trusting you. It's just that it was a situation that popped up that resembled something from our past.
Mm-hmm.
And I started feeling that way. And that's what, when I went to God and asked him, Lord, you got to help me. He revealed that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this just looks like something that you saw in your past, but this is not what that is.
Yeah. But see, I didn't know that. But that's why you got to cultivate the communication in relationships. Mm-hmm. It is so important that you communicate and you talk, because even the fact that because we do talk that way, that issue could have now mind you, if we didn't talk that way, that issue could have been a lot worse. We probably wouldn't have been on this podcast today because if somebody would have been on here by themselves,
I would have been
like,
oh, we sitting up here trying to tell people how to live in a marriage and be healthy, and you act, that kind of stuff. Little subtle things, like I always say, God is suddenly, and he did it suddenly, but the devil is subtly. It's those little subtle things that happen that if I did not already know, if God didn't already help us early in our marriage and in our friendship to understand how to deal with it, come to me. People get that twisted a lot of times. Oh, you don't got to pray about every. Yes, you do. Prayer is just a conversation. He says, come to me and I will break it down for you so that you won't get things misconstrued. Mm-hmm. So true. You can understand what it really is, because it's a little devil on the shoulder that's trying to whisper or something in your ear that really isn't what it is. Mm-hmm. And I remember early on God told me, if there's a accusation.
Pray, Barry.
If there's an accusation, he says, Satan is the accuser of the brother and not me.
Yeah.
So if you are accusing someone of something, from something you thinking in, if your husband rather, of something you thinking in your own mind, and there is no facts behind it, even though it looked like, I'm talking about everything lined up, looked like it could be it, it's an accusation. And if it's an accusation, you know who that is, and he's a liar. It ain't me. So if he's a liar, on the other side of that accusation is the truth. That means it's not what you think it is.
So that's like sometimes what happens in relationships is our feelings is the things that drive us.
And that's what keeps us lonely.
And that's what keeps us lonely, because it's how you feel and how you feel and what you going through and how you feeling.
Mm-hmm. What you see that's going on that looks like something that's familiar that hurts you.
And it's like, no.
And if you stay in that without taking it to God, so he could decipher that thing for you, oh my God, you will have that attitude Because I almost did.
What?
Because I almost did.
Because you could have felt like I was ignoring. Because really, I shut the door. Because she kept trying to tell me.
I sure did.
She kept trying to tell me how to respond.
But I'm going to be honest.
So I shut the door so she can stop talking while I was.
And then he said, you getting on my nerves.
I sure did.
Now, back in the day, that would have hurt my little feelings. But because I understood what I was doing, I caught it. You know, I'm like, dog, I said I would never be the nagging wife.
But you know what she did after that, though? After all of that, she came to kiss me before she went to work, but and she said, "All right now,
baby, I'll see you
later." But again, it was that wasn't an issue that was going to take
keep
over.
Us, yeah,
it wasn't going to take
in that
over
one spot.
In that spot, yes, that's right. Kim said, "Satan will come and stir up things more because of the ministry." Oh, thank you, Kim.
That's right.
That's right. He will
because a lot of marriage ministries are under attack.
What's up, Herm? Yeah, and the thing is. And the thing is, we understand that.
Yeah.
We really understand that because it's like, and this is just marriage, period. Not just our marriage. This is marriage.
Period.
When we really understand what marriage is ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It is ministry. And understand something that is as powerful and as sacred to God, such as because he compares it to his church.
This is
his bride.
Sacred.
He compares it
to
his church. So if he compares it to something that sacred to him, of course it's going to be under attack. But the thing is, because we know it's under attack, we can't be divided. We got
to
be together
I have
in everything.
To keep that in the
we
got to
keep it
of my mind. I also have to keep.
What's up, Cuzzo?
Hey, Dwayne. I also have to keep in the forefront of my mind that everything that goes on in our marriage is like a simulation. It's training ground.
It's very training ground.
Because somebody going to need this.
And everything that we go through really is not for us.
It's not for us. And
everything
we go
you
through
go through in your situations, it is not for you. It is a learning lesson when God brings you out of it to help
when
somebody
he bring
else.
You out,
because he's going to bring you out of it.
Will you believe? It's. I feel like a lot of times God be saying, dog, I know you're going through this. Okay, how do you think I feel when my church, which is those who have accepted Christ into their lives, when my church, my bride, cheat on me?
Yeah.
Y'all, it's
we
like
do it all the time.
One minute you love me, the next minute you over here doing your own thing, and you with this guy, and you doing this, and the next thing you back loving on me when you need me. It's like he says I'm married to the infidel. So if the church is the bride and Christ is the bridegroom, and he's saying, this is what I go through, but I said I'll never leave you. I'm still not gonna leave you. Ain't no such thing as separation. Nothing can pluck you out of my hand.
Yeah.
So if I'm going through this in a marriage, whenever you're going through something, that's just basically you getting a little bit of a taste of what I go through with my bride, so that you could have a desire at that point to say, look, it's time for us to help these Christians get it together, because I know what it feels like to be cheated on, or I know what it feels like to have somebody unfaithful to me.
Yeah.
I know what it feels like to think that this person is not choosing me first.
Yeah.
So because I know what that feel like, I don't want God to feel like that. And we his bride, so help. So now I'm going to desire to help you. Not as my husband. Now I'm not always looking at you as my husband. Sometimes I'm looking at you as my brother in Christ.
Yeah.
You part of this bride, get it together. And I want to see that happen. I want God to be happy with us. We are like the children of Israel. We have backslidden again.
And the thing, too.
Deep. I'm sorry.
No, that's good.
It's in my heart, that's
a great thing. And too, but that shows that really has to be a level of patience for one another.
Yeah.
A lot of times we don't have patience with our mates, man. We want them to be something right away.
Yeah. Yes.
Right away. I need you to do this, and I need you to know this now. And I need, but we don't put in the work for them to notice. We don't put, when you're building cars, a car is not built in one day. You got to put all the parts and all the pieces in place to build that car.
And then they test drive it.
And then they go through test driving before they even put the car on the lot. So it's a lot that goes through in the process
of
making the car.
A lot of processing.
But we don't want to go through that process when it comes to our mates. We want them to drive right away. You know,
and
but
we'll be mad if somebody sold us a car that wasn't tested and processed, and that's just a car. But we get with a mate, and we want everything to just be perfect already, and it's like, no,
exactly,
you got to go through the process with that person. You have to go through some testing with that person.
And two, right, and another thing that happens is a lot of times, man, I had to touch you, my hand was cold.
Yeah, your hands
are
cold.
A lot of times too, when things come up too, we run from it. We don't like to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, like a child coming to their parents only when they want something.
Only when they want something. That's what we do.
That's what we do.
And God
That's
is
right.
Like,
and God is like, uh-uh.
Like, I've been here. I love you
I'm
always.
Here to process. That's right, Barry. God is saying, I'm right
I'm
here.
Always
He says,
right
I will never
you.
Leave you, nor will I forsake you.
When you're that means, cheating on me, I'm right there.
And that means He's with you in the midst of trouble. He's with you. What did the scripture say? When two or three are gathered in His name. That's what He's talking
he's
about.
He's in the midst.
He's right there.
So if I have a desire to get my art right with you for how I felt like you wasn't there, and you have a desire to make sure I'm always with an understanding of where your heart is at, when we come together, God is right there in the middle of that thing. That's
right.
The glue.
That's the glue.
So now
that's
me
what
and
we
you
miss.
Talking to each other.
You're
yeah,
missing that glue, man.
That's why so many things falling apart, because we don't have that glue.
We go to our feelings instead of going to the glue.
And that feelings is not, that feeling is like nail glue. You know, the mm-hmm. little nails, boop, they pop off.
That's right.
It's not the glue, the super glue, the super. It's not that.
He is that glue.
Come and on.
You're right, babe. We go. We don't go to the glue. We go straight to our feelings. And actually what we do is we go to our mind. Because a lot of that stuff, what we're going through, is what we're telling ourselves.
And my God, some
and
of the stuff,
I keep saying that.
Some of the stuff that I hear marriages, people going through in marriages today, is so heartbreaking. I would not want, if I ever had to really truly use some of the stuff that I tell them, I would really have to hunker down and say, hunker down.
You
can tell
word.
I'm from the South. No, that, I didn't
hunker
make
down.
That up.
What's hunker down?
I'm going to really have to
You're
stand.
Going to really hunker down.
Like, I got to stand firm on that word that I have given out, because I know it's tough for these ladies and these men who are going through what they're going through in their marriages. But one thing I do know for sure too is God has you training, because of how this world is today. This world is so broken and so in pain and so full of voids that He is using His children as those people that He is going to raise up to be kin to those situations. Nobody really not going to hear what you have to say about their broken marriage if you didn't go through it and make it through with God and He right. really show His power in that thing. If you left, if you walked away, if you gave up, then all you can really say is, girl, that didn't work for me.
Yeah.
And how can you help somebody get delivered? God need us to be those people in this world today to help deliver some people out of some situations and stay married long enough to see I still am all powerful.
Do you know how powerful in words are? The songwriter said, God can do anything.
Anything.
But fail.
But fail.
If you really listen to that, if you really understand
do we
that,
believe it anymore?
God can do anything but fail.
We can fail.
We can fail. But God can
when
do everything
do
else but
else.
That. He does
Come
everything
on.
Else but fail.
It's so like I'm in a, you don't understand.
They need to be delivered, Barry.
You don't understand, bro. Okay. I might not understand, but
you got
somebody
really,
that can understand.
You know what crazy? You know what? That really bothers me that a lot, that people say, and they say this about situations where they see that work. And they say, well, that don't work. For me, wait a minute.
Well, what are you doing now?
Wait a minute.
Is that
now they so if this works for a situation and you try to tell them that this will work, they'll say, well, that don't work for this situation. Our situation is different.
It's
like, how does, what sense does that make?
But see, and the thing is, it probably is different. But the same God is the God that I'm telling you about
that's
will
the
help
whole point.
Change
that's
the whole situation.
There isn't a specific order that God has and how He works everything out.
Yeah.
There is a specific order, and there's one order.
Come on with the order.
There is one order that God has that works for everything. That works for
Come
everything.
Come on, talk about it. I already know where you're going with this.
Come on. It works for everything.
Yes.
When you follow God.
Yes, God first.
God first.
Come on now.
Then the man.
Then
but,
the man.
But it is contingent on how he follows God.
Right. And it's also contingent on how the helper follows God. Because as a wife, God called us to be a helper, a helpmeet. Now, the thing about it is, I could have went off on Jesse earlier when yesterday when he slammed that door and was like, you getting on my
Come
nerves.
On, order.
Because of the simple fact that I was embarrassed, I would have been embarrassed because he was still on the phone with somebody when he said that. It's like, oh, so you're going to tell that person, you're going to say I get on your nerves when you're on the phone or whatever. But see, Only because God has healed me from a lot of things and helped me to understand things differently. I didn't take that to the thing of max like I would have took it in the past.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, the reason why I feel like something that played an important part in me not ever having to worry about being lonely in my marriage.
Yes.
Before we got married, it was 3 years that we broke up, that 3 year stint. I was by myself. I wasn't dating anybody. I wasn't talking to anybody.
I still find it hard to believe because she's gorgeous.
Thank you. Stop playing with me, boy. All right, well, everybody, it was nice. Cut.
She's gorgeous. She said she was, but
But see, the thing, I was single. I was still hurting, and I was still going through because I'm not the one that jumped right into something else. I don't do that. But I was still kind of hurting, and God had to heal me of that. But I had a place in my singleness where God had me by himself. Mm-hmm. I remember times I couldn't pay my rent. God says, I'm your husband. He sends somebody to my house, and all of a sudden they say, how much, girl, how much you need? One of my homegirls, she gave me the rest of the money. Mm-hmm. God showed me how he loved me throughout that whole time. So because he and I was right there by ourselves, he
Barry
showed
told us to
me,
get a room.
We are.
Oh, when this podcast is over, buddy.
As a matter of fact, we got a room. 24/7, baby. But anyway. See, okay, and the thing is, it's like because of my singleness, because I invited him into my singleness. Now, whenever there is an issue where he really not trying to hear me I invited him into my singleness.
That was good.
At first, I got so comfortable in my singleness and with God, I kind of felt like, oh, my God, nobody ain't going to want me now because I'm probably going to be set in my ways. I got kind of nervous. But what God was showing me was, if you let me love you for real, like I want to love you, like love really supposed to look like, then when you see that God come along with that and I actually bring you to him, you'll be familiar with that love and you'll know that that's him. And that's exactly what happened. But in times when I feel like that Jesse, especially when we first got married, when he was kind of like, we were still going through our little hiccups in our communication, and he would kind of like silent treatment me for a little while, not days and all that stuff. But I did feel kind of like, you know, what I say, rejected. I had an issue with rejection.
Ooh. Do you know how that plays a part of me lonely?
Exactly.
Feeling rejected?
Because whenever I felt rejected, I felt lonely. Ooh. And I remember it was a one time in particular when God really showed this to me. I put the covers over my head and I tucked myself under the covers and I looked ignorant. Really, I'm sure we was arguing, and here I go putting covers over my head and tucking myself in and in the bed and everything. But that was my moment when in my head I start praying. I was like, God, you said you was my refuge place.
Come on,
you said you would hide me. And I was really like crying out to him because that was a hard moment in that time. We was trying to come to a point of acclimating and bringing our lives together and learning how to love each other. And we had an argument. It was a bad one. And I was just like, oh my God, I don't want to get a divorce this early. I don't want to be that chick that me and my husband have all these issues and all of that stuff. And I remember going to that place of refuge. And then God starts showing me, if you keep coming to me whenever y'all get into argument, Satan ain't going to want to see that because he don't want you with me. And y'all arguments going to get less and less. Mm-hmm.
But you know what, too? Yeah. I realized that it's not that you're not going to have problems.
You are.
It's not that you're not going to. Because if you live in that fairy tale world, like you're just not going to have problems. I'm sorry, baby. You're living in a fantasy world.
You're living
on Fantasy Cinderella Island. Land. And that I've never heard of that before. It's not that you're not going to have issues because you're two different people. Yeah. You're going to disagree about
different
certain things.
Backgrounds.
You got different backgrounds. We both was raised differently.
Yes.
So you're bringing these two different backgrounds together. So you're going to have some friction and sometimes some head bumps.
Yeah.
But it's not that you're not going to have the head bumps. It's how you work them out.
Yeah.
Are you going to leave to work them out? Because when you leave in the midst of those problems, guess what you make that person feel like?
Rejected.
And then when all that starts is, and what that starts doing
abandoned.
Is now, yeah, now you start feel. Now you start, what you're doing is now you coming in here and
a
you start
wedge.
Bringing the wedge, opening the wedge up to now allow thoughts to start coming in. So now what you're doing is feeling like you in this thing by yourself.
And when a man
by
leaves
yourself.
Or vice versa, I can't say what happens when
or not
a
even that,
leaves,
or just I'm, go in a room because you don't even have to leave the house.
Right.
You can go in another room and just shut the door and just say, I'm going to sleep in here today and you sleep in there for a couple
so
hours.
When that happens, You give that woman a lot of time to think.
Or that man now.
But what I was saying, I know you interrupted that thought. I need you to hit me to the period.
Okay.
When a man leaves the house, though, that's what I was talking about, that specifically. When he leaves the house after an argument because he just needs some time to drive around or whatever, in her mind, she's wondering where he is. Okay, we just argued. Is he going somewhere where it's going to be somebody there that's going to trip him up, some kind of tricks out there that's going to trap him up? You know, all kind of stuff go through our head when they leave. I remember you used
Jasmine
to do that.
And Jasmine and Candy said, y'all gotta call us now. Jasmine, if you said you're going to get with us, you need to call them now.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know what they said. What did they
no,
say?
No, Jasmine said she wanted to get with us. So
okay.
Okay.
But seriously, that really, like, I remember you used to do that. You used to leave the house. You said, I just need some time. And you would get in the car and you would leave. And I'll be saying, oh, my God, he just left in the middle of us arguing.
But you know what, though? Honestly. And I had to learn this the hard way because that I don't know why I did that. Before I used to do that, because I was programmed to do. I felt like the way to deal with it was to leave, calm down, do what you need to do to kind of like get your mind right, whatever that was. If that was go to a bar, because that's what I did. I would go to the bar, get a drink.
I ain't want to say that, but that's what my mind would be like, oh my God, he finna get ready to go.
So if you do that,
young lady gonna be
somebody
there,
looking at
she
you.
She gonna be all nice when we arguing, and here we go.
And that's all it takes is for that little
my
say
mind
something
went all the way to
all
oh
it takes
Lord,
is that little up. Yeah, it takes for that somebody to say something right. At the wrong time.
Come on now.
That's all it takes for somebody to say something right at the wrong time.
Calling you.
How would you handle that when somebody is telling you something that you want to hear that you didn't hear from your mate and somebody else tells you this?
And she understand because now you telling her what
happened. Yeah, you telling her what. But here's the point. I had to learn, like, man, if I could tell this person that I don't know.
I remember you said that one time.
Why can't I tell the person that? I got my back.
You love me. You know what I'm saying? You ain't tell me.
Yeah, like, why can't I tell the person that I say got my back, the person that God gave to me, that I said I vowed to love, to I made vows to this. So it's like, if I made vow to this, why would I go give this information to somebody else who don't even know me?
Yeah.
Or who I don't even know.
I thought that was big of you, too. Because you can be putting yourself... That was like a milestone in our communication.
Because I had to think about that, like, man, what... Why would I do that? Because I don't know this person.
And that did change. It changed a lot in our communication. Because after that, when you told me that, it was almost like, wow, okay. He really is trying to communicate with me differently. He not fluffing me. You know, he's not trying to get over. Because that's another thing, too.
I guess because, too, like I said, when I went through, when I was out there cheating. Mm-hmm. I had to go through that period where I was dealing with different women. Mm-hmm. And dealing with these different women, it was like I didn't really know I was ready for a relationship. So I would pretty much go into the relationship. Because, you know, when a man break up, when a woman break up, she gets by herself.
Sometimes women do.
A lot of time. Majority of the time.
Most women, likely, but the
majority of the time when a man break up with a woman, then probably tomorrow he's in a new relationship.
Or a new situation.
Or a new situationship by the next day. You know what I'm saying? They in a whole nother situation. So, but it's the thing like, is, getting in these new situations right away, it don't really help you deal with stuff. So you bringing in what happened in the last relationship of trying to avoid it in this new relationship, but you thinking in this new relationship is going to cover what you didn't do, what you didn't cover in this last relationship.
She ain't stressing me. Not knowing that it's coming.
Oh, it's coming.
Because you haven't changed.
Yeah,
because
you ain't
a new person.
Yeah. You just bring the same problem in a new relationship.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean...
Yes, Kim. I believe that.
She says, everyone is not strong like that. We can't leave an open door for the enemy to come in.
That's
because
right.
When he leaves out of that door, half the time he's not closing it. It's an open door for the enemy to come in, and he will come in.
Oh, he's coming
and
in.
He going... An idle mind is a devil's workshop. I always say, if there's a workshop, he building something.
Because what it say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
But you know, oh my God.
Because that means.
I keep hitting you because you just.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means our battle is not in the flesh. The flesh is only responds to what's in the mind.
And you said a key word. We wrestle.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a wrestling match?
Oh, yeah.
A real wrestling match? What God is trying to tell us is it's like that. That's what it looks like. But we're not supposed to be wrestling with flesh mm-hmm. and blood. Because behind the scenes, there's somebody behind that curtain that's pulling the strings. It's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not as bad as you think.
That's right.
But because you've allowed the enemy to come in and do some work in that workshop so many years, mm-hmm. now it's a big thing that, like Minecraft, a whole city done been created in your mind about this situation.
Wow, yeah. But it happens, man.
And now you think, oh, well. But no. And why they got them bulldozers and those big old black true. Wrecking balls.
And that's what I did not want to deal down. With. That's why I had to come to that point, because I didn't want to deal with the city that was brought up in my wife's head. My wife, trust me.
Right.
Women have a sense of imagination.
Exactly.
When I tell you, they
detail.
Can come up. Yeah, they come up with detailed stories,
you know,
that
the
they
paint
tell
color
themselves.
On the walls and our thoughts and everything. Yes, we
yes.
do.
So I said, you know what? Because I don't want her to continually give me the city that she can thought up in her head. I gotta communicate with her
help.
So that she can. Well, yeah, you had help, but the help still made you come up with your own conclusion.
You're right. But that was before I realized that whenever I accuse you of something that I did not have any concrete proof about, that I didn't see, then that was an accusation from the enemy. I didn't know that. It's little things that God showed me over time that helped me knock that city down.
Yeah. Because she would tell me, like prime example.
I knew what happened to you, and I told you, like, no, that's not you.
You can't tell me. And it's like,
yep.
I am telling you that is the truth. So, but realize, though, man, that's women. That is a lot of reason why a lot of men run, because they don't want to deal with that city that
yeah.
women come and tell Lisa. So women, that's why I said, when you are telling yourselves and creating these stories, please include the glue in it. That's what we got to bring that glue back.
Tisha say it's gorilla glue.
Yeah, you got to bring that glue back, because again, it the job is to separate the thing that
yeah.
God is bringing together.
Yeah.
So if you don't go back to that glue,
yeah.
if you don't go back to thinking
it's gonna
about
fall
that glue,
apart.
you're gonna really come up with this city, and this
yeah.
city is gonna be worse than Babylon.
Yeah, come on,
it's gonna be worse than Babylon.
Yeah. And it is.
It's going to be worse than the level. And it's nothing like being in captivity. Oh, my God. The captivity of your mind.
Yeah.
The captivity of your
behind
thoughts.
Behind the prison bars
behind
of your
behind those
own
prison
pain.
Bars of your own pain.
Yes.
And what the only thing it does is it triggers. See, what that thing, what we didn't, what, see, I had to realize that. The only thing it did was trigger what you already kind of dealt with. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? So, of course, so you bringing in. From that city, you bringing in what you dealt with
right.
and what you thinking could have happened.
But see, some things, now we can't overlook this aspect. Now, that was just what was going on then.
Yeah.
But some situations, rightfully so, he did do this. He did cheat, or he did go outside the marriage. He did, or vice versa. I'm not just talking about he, but I'm just coming from a woman's perspective.
Mm.
He did do all of those things. I know he cheated on me. Mm. I saw it, or I heard about it, or I saw the pictures or the text message. He made a mistake and text her when he was supposed to be texting her. All kind of things happen in marriage. So we can't overlook the fact that some of these situations actually do exist. And when they exist, we go into ourselves. We do as women. We shut down. We get silent. We don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
And then men don't want to deal with the city that we created in our mind. But who gave us the bricks?
Yeah, that's true.
Who gave us the bricks?
And two, you know what else could come contributes to a level of loneliness? If you started in the beginning being this man who called while you were at work, and you was being this man who brought flowers,
right?
And you was being this man, you presented this whole. Man,
representative.
You brought this whole representative
yeah.
of a great man,
a great guy.
And then Ooh. Later on in the relationship, all of that just stopped. You working 20 hours and you don't call. You too tired to do it, whatever.
Come on, the extreme other extreme.
Yeah, you do all these hours and you don't even call and say, hey, babe, I was thinking about
yeah.
you. You know what I'm saying? So
nothing.
That is a level of disconnect that we just do not want to embark with it.
Yeah. And then when that happens, she says stuff like, well, you don't call me no more. Well, I'm busy. I'm trying to work. But when I met you, you had that same job. Right. You know, Kim says,
what Kim said.
She says, when we know our spouse's actions in past relationships, we sometimes don't give them time
to show
change in our marriage when conflict
comes. That's right. That goes back to what we're saying, Kim. Yeah. Because the thing is, that trigger is something else. Yeah. Oh my God, that trigger is something else.
Oh my God, I just shot you.
Yeah.
Be like, oh my God, I ain't.
Who shot you? Biggie Smalls. Yeah.
That's what that pain does. It's like, it's the hair trigger. It's like, oh my God, I ain't realize I shot you. It happened.
It happens, man.
Where were you? What did you do? Where you been? How you? And it's like, not even just that situation. It's a lot of things that cause women and men in marriages to feel lonely. It's certain things like a death of a loved one, a baby.
Yeah.
That's
true, baby.
A child, a mother, a father. These things make you have to deal with something, kinds of pain you never even envisioned. That no matter how much you got prepared for mama to pass or daddy or grandma, it's like you just really can't grasp the pain that you're feeling right now. Mm. So that causes you to shut down. And then sometimes if it's the husband, that woman don't know how to reach you. Mm. She has to give you time to come out of that place. So now she's feeling lonely. That is if she doesn't allow God to have that. I'm telling you, that's vital. That singleness, that time of seclusion with God where he helps you to understand in those moments of loneliness, me and you have such an awesome relationship that when he's going through this, me and you can have conversation. And it's not awkward. We can have real conversation, and then I can tell you little things about him to do that can possibly help bring him out quicker because me and you talking, and I'm imparting some wisdom about the situation that you had no clue about. That's how God operates.
One thing my wife, I could say that she did that really was key, too, to help me understand a lot of things. A lot of times when she wanted to come fuss at me, she didn't.
Oh, my.
A couple of times she reacted.
I did.
But a lot of times when she really could have, like really exploded, yeah. She didn't. She prayed for me.
I like the fact she recognized that I could have because yeah, you could have. You did. No, I'm
playing. I mean, because I know at that point it was like, I mean, I was new to this. So I was like, being new to this, I really didn't understand the importance of not doing the things that I used to do.
Yeah. You know what
I'm saying? I didn't understand the level. I thought I could still chill. I didn't understand
the
importance.
That's key. That's one of them things God helped me to say, okay, God.
And because she didn't fuss and the way she came at me, it was the way you came at me that made me realize, like, you know what?
Who knows how to come at a pit bull? Like when you used to be in your mold, you knew you're rah, rah, you know. So who knows how to come at that situation at you and when you're in those moments. Mm. And then when the moment get good, you don't want to bring it up to start the moment to be bad all over again. So who else was I supposed to go to?
Thank you, Bear.
To go to God and say, okay, I don't understand. I be crying. I mean, I used to be crying. Lord, I don't know how to do this. And he would share key moments of your heart with me.
Yeah.
That's how much he loves us as the helper, the help me. He's not leaving us out here by ourselves to get butchered and ate up. No, he got us. So he would help me understand little stuff, and then I would kind of like use that to come now to him, and it worked. So when I start seeing it worked, oh, it was over then. I'm like, I'm taking everything. Every situation, baby. Okay now.
That's why I don't understand why, like, you know, I don't understand why people will say that you need space over there and I need, because I don't need space like that, because man, my wife is my best friend.
I thought I would though.
I thought I would too. I like, man, if you're around me all the time, nigga, you're going to get on my nerves.
Right.
You're gonna aggravate the heck out of me being around me all the time. Like, go, come on, leave me alone.
Yeah,
but it's like,
I was like that in past relationships. I'll be like, oh my God, just go. Don't you have some friends? Like, go be with your friends.
You don't need to go out, but it's like,
I was like, goodness.
But it's like,
but with you, it was different. because we genuinely had a friendship, and I actually enjoyed spending time and kicking it, and you made me laugh, and I was like, oh my God, he funny?
That's why it's so important. Like, that's why I don't really have, I mean, I wouldn't even say that, but I would say that that's why it's so important to really cultivate the communication, mm-hmm. because it develops a level of friendship in the relationship that will not be broken under no circumstances because you are cultivating it. Uh-huh. When you cultivate something, you grow it. When you cultivate it,
it grows.
You grow it.
And that's how you know health is there.
That's how you know that you're depending on the glue, because mm-hmm. there is growth. Yeah. There is you're prospering. You're getting better.
Yeah,
you're
getting better. We could have stayed in a figure eight better. In some situations where we just kept spinning and spinning. We could have stayed there in some situations.
That's right, Tisha.
What'd she say?
She said, I feel like space at that time creates opportunities for the devil to come.
And
in.
You are That's absolutely right. correct.
I totally agree. Hey, sis, how you doing?
In those times, Aleya, hey, baby.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
It's like, where are you going? Because the thing is, I remember one time, this is funny. This is so funny. I remember one time, my wife got so mad at me, she packed her stuff. She packed her stuff. I mean, packed everything. Packed everything.
I ain't have no boxes. I took black trash packed bags. Everything. I cut the top out.
Now, here's the funny part. She put all the stuff in my car.
Yeah. But see, it's so funny because at the time.
And I was like, what you
that's
doing?
When I didn't have a job. So I didn't have no money, and I had to ask him for some gas money.
She going
to
come back and ask me for gas money so she can leave.
No, I didn't. That ain't what happened. I remember I left, and it was he hardly ever kept gas in the truck. That's right. Like, his stuff used to be on E often. So I remember going to the gas station.
That's
it was
awesome,
cold.
Tim.
I went to the gas station, but my pride, I had so much pride. I still got some. But I had so much pride, I refused to ask somebody to help me get some gas. Because I knew how I looked at people that always would be out there asking sometimes, you know.
And all it was because the fact that she wanted
we
to
had
talk
an
about
argument.
The, she wanted to talk about the situation right now. And I saw that if we talked about this right now, there were going to be some things that were going to be said. There were going to be some things that were not going to be pleasant that was going to happen
but
if
see,
we were going to be talking in that
about
moment.
You then.
So what I said to her, just go to sleep.
Please.
Lay down.
Oh, please. He did not. He said, shut up talking to me.
Well, she.
He's talking about go to
that
sleep.
That was after the fifth time of saying, please go to sleep, because she had to have the last word.
Only because growing up in my household, and we know this now, but growing up in my household, whenever my father said, you know, once the family meeting was over, we didn't get a chance to talk about it. So I felt like that if we didn't talk about it right then, we would never talk about it, and it'd be getting swept under the rug. I didn't know you had plans to come back to talk about it.
Yeah.
And the only reason why you didn't want to talk about it was because you didn't want to say something you couldn't take back. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that at the time.
And but see,
I grew to understand that.
You said something that's key, right? Just this. She just said something. That is a whole nother thing that causes loneliness in these relationships.
What's that?
Sweeping stuff under the rug,
right?
And never coming
and
back
never
and dealing
coming
with it.
Back. That was my
and
fear.
Never coming back
was
and
like,
dealing
uh-uh,
with it.
We gonna talk about
if
this
you
now.
Leave it under the rug, you can pile up a bunch of junk. Of don't care. You piling up a bunch of junk of he don't or she don't love me.
He don't love me.
You piling up a whole bunch of stuff like that. You got to just fix stuff to just go over the junk.
Yeah.
And that is not good.
And you mad because he won't fix the ramp so you can get over it.
Exactly.
He tell you get over it. You be like, why? What you mean? And now here you go. Now y'all arguing and he thinking, oh, I thought we already talked about that.
Look what Kim said.
Okay, Kim, girl, you be on it, honey. Y'all should have came to the Shift Love Ball. This doggone Kim and her husband, Adrian, they spit some wisdom.
Yeah, man.
She says, I go to God now when I need to talk to Adrian. It's all about timing. Lord, I need his heart to be right when I come to him. So tell me when the time is right. You got that down pat.
Girl, that is
because we don't know.
Key. That is key. It is.
We don't know the right timing.
Yeah, because the thing is, too, the heart got to be ready to receive what you got to say, especially if you got to say something.
Uh-huh.
And it's not always the right time for somebody to receive what you got to say.
And if that heart hard right there.
And that heart is hard and you still trying to get that thing. anything across.
Nothing is going to get through.
Ain't nothing getting through that
and
brick.
Then you're going to get mad like I did that night and get in go get all your black trash bags.
She got every black. She took all the trash. I just bought them from Walmart. I just bought them from Walmart.
Put my hangers in it. And I wrapped it up at the end.
Yeah.
And I threw all that neatly stuff in the back of the truck.
And here's the killer. You know what the killer was? She going to ask me to help her bring it back in the house when she got over it.
I didn't
need my help to get it in the truck.
Let me tell you something. Once I realized I was not going to be to get nowhere.
Yeah.
I had two sides of pride. One, I wasn't going to ask nobody to help me get a tank of gas. Two, I didn't want to walk back up in the house and you see me how foolish I was.
Yeah, where you
leaving
going?
Like that. I was dramatic in my leaving too.
She was very dramatic. If they gonna come back and ask me, can I help her bring the stuff back?
Good and doggone well. He don't think I'm the one to play with. I was wrapping my stuff up. I'm talking under my breath, and he turned over and went to sleep. That made me even more upset because he wasn't willing to like fight a little bit. And I'm thinking,
I wanted to do other things.
Willing to fight for me. He's just gonna let me walk out. Okay, I'm gonna show him. Oh, it just got so ugly.
I didn't
want to
fight. I wanted to do other things, and she didn't want to do that. So she went. Okay, Lee. I knew she wasn't going nowhere because she. First of all, we only had one car, and it was my car.
And
this
he had
time.
To go to work the next morning.
So I was like, look.
I was willing to sleep in the car, and it was going to be
for
cold because I couldn't put the heat on.
And it was cold outside.
So I couldn't put the heat on because it was.
And this was during wintertime, too. So I was like, where you going? Here comes like getting this warm bed. Yes. She didn't want to do that.
And
she
that's when the Lord spoke to me clearly, and he said, look, you got a warm bed in the house. Just turn your back to him and get in there and go to sleep.
Yeah.
I was like, Lord, girl, you tripping. Then I came to myself and said, girl, you tripping. I went home. I laid in the bed. Still kind of upset because he was asleep while I was sitting up and doing all that drama. And then he turned over to me and said, you done wasted this whole night. All you had to do was give me some and we would have been over this.
We've been over this
and
a long time ago.
And I just started laughing. I said, you make me sick.
All you had to do. All you had to do. All you, Candy.
He a mess.
Candy, all she had to do was gonna give me some. It would have been all right.
He a mess. But see, at
that's
the
what
time,
I was trying to
those
do.
Those were growing pains in our marriage. I didn't understand marriage. Because all I knew was the fear that I had in my heart and in my head about being lonely in marriage. I didn't understand those things.
And it wasn't that I was getting some to try to cover the situation or throw something over it. It was just that, look, we still are a couple.
We still married.
We are still together. So at the end of the day, this will calm down.
I'm talking about we had an SUV and everything. The whole SUV was covered with my stuff.
Covered with a bunch of plastic bags in the old truck.
She I'm like, babe, you going to help me get all my stuff and put it back in?
No, I'm like, no.
He was like, I ain't help you put it in there. So here we go again, phase three. Now I got to take
everything back by myself. The number love.
That night was
I did not help you go up
all
and down the steps.
Because of the thoughts and the fears that I had in my head, the things that I knew from my past growing up thinking we wasn't going to talk about it, and I was so afraid that if we wouldn't talk about it, we'd be brushed under the rug and then we'll be that couple. All of this came from fear, and it was false.
And all we had, and like I said, sometimes
it was false.
Like Kim Scott said earlier, it's all timing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just because you can't talk about it now, don't mean you're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about it at level headedness,
yeah,
a lot of times we trying to talk about something while we on 10.
Everybody on 10.
Ain't nobody listening to nobody.
Right.
Ain't nobody listening to nobody.
Ain't nobody.
We not listening because we screaming over each other. Yeah. We trying to be the loudest one. You gonna hear me.
Because we both want to be heard.
Yeah, you
want
to be. So you, at that point, you talking to be heard. And it's like, no. Yeah. Come, listen. There's an issue. If we know we got an issue.
Yeah.
All right, so what we gonna do is we're gonna put that to the side.
Right.
We're going to enjoy each other tonight. Let's go get something to eat.
Deal with it later.
And then by the time we done calm down, it's like, dang, you know what? I didn't even have to do all of that.
Right. And that was, a lot of it was a misunderstanding.
See, that's what it be.
I heard
something
that he really didn't say,
a
but
misfire.
I didn't know how to ask.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know how to ask him, is that what, because I didn't want to seem weak. You know, I had went through that moment where I ain't going to be no punk about mine, you know. But at the end of the day, I'm so grateful now. I know how I handled it in the past, how I handled it in my emotions and my feelings. And a lot of it was valid, some of it, you know. But now I handle it like I have a relationship with God to the point where we talk. No, seriously.
Come on now.
Talk.
I felt that one. I felt that in
we
my
We actually talk, and he impart wisdom, and this is how my marriage works. So now looking
because
at both sides.
Because we go to the glue. Yes. We go back to the glue.
And in my singleness, God showed me what his love looked like.
Yes.
And because of that, I know what it looks like in
go
my mate.
Back to the gorilla glue.
We got
to
go back to the
Shondo.
Glue.
That's right, Barry. Shondo.
We
got to
go back to the glue.
Shondo.
But anyway.
Is that a name or something? Or we...
That's the beginning
Shondo.
Of...
Come here, Shondo.
Stop playing. What's your baby name? Shondo. Anyway.
What's the last name? My bro, Marvin Johnson. What's up, boy?
Hey, Marvin.
My dude, you didn't meet him yet, babe. You gonna
I
meet
know,
him.
But I always... Nobody I knew that but you.
My bad. That's my dude, though.
But,
that's
okay.
Dope drummer in New York. Dope drummer.
So at the end of the day, just know that if you're single... Bring God into your singleness.
That's right, Kim.
Learn how to be loved by the truth.
That's right. That's right.
The truth.
The truth, y'all.
And then when you get married, you'll have established that relationship,
that's
y'all.
Right.
That's the best relationship you'll ever be in. It's for real, for real. It's not no joke. It's not no game. He for real about
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
And that will help you in your relationships not to be lonely.
That's
because
right.
if he
that's
not right. doing right, I always have somebody else I can go to, and we actually can talk and have a good time.
That's
until
right.
Until he ready, and until God get him ready.
Hey man, hey Marv, Herman, we gonna put this retreat together. We working on that now. We working on that now. I promise you, we working on this now. Yes, we do
yes,
need
we
a retreat.
Are. And
we gonna
I
have
know,
a shift retreat out here in Houston.
Uh-huh.
And Shift Love
God
Ball.
Doing a lot of things.
Shift
y'all.
Love Ball is coming to Atlanta.
It's the
and
Shift
also,
Love Ball
we coming
ATL.
To New York, and we coming
Look out
to New York
for it.
Too.
We are going to have a Fire
yeah.
ball.
You're going to ATL. You're going to be in Atlanta. I promise you, it's going to be off the chain.
All right.
But
it's time for us to pray, y'all. It's our
yes,
time
man.
Is
we
up.
Thank y'all, man. Thank y'all
May
for
the
tuning
Lord
in with us. May the Lord.
Watch between me and thee.
Thank you, Marv. Subscribe,
while
y'all.
We are,
while
baby,
we are absent.
I'm praying.
I didn't know. She just took my hand and started okay. praying while I'm still in the...
Okay, baby. All eyes, that's how the old people did it. Just
yeah, but
eyes,
at least we was on one accord,
closed,
though. They waited.
All eyes closed, please.
Okay,
all right. Come on, baby.
Okay.
May gotcha. The Lord...
May the Lord...
Watch between me
watch
and
Watch between me and her.
While we are absent.
While we absent.
One from another.
One from another.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen,
until
y'all.
Next time, y'all.
We love y'all, man.
We
love
y'all.
You. We love y'all.
Thanks for watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.